Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 112 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Seth, you are in a different location this week.
I am. You notice a different background this week. I'm on the road visiting some friends and family up in the Northeast, and got to enjoy a little bit of the chill Pennsylvania fall weather. Got to break out all of my sweaters. But before I headed out of town, I did get to go over to the Magic Kingdom on November 1st. And I got to tell you, I was amazed. They had a Boo Bash on Halloween night itself. And by the morning of the 1st, Halloween was gone on Main Street. The tree was up. The wreaths are up. The garlands are up. It's Christmas. And not only that, I was a little surprised that the Jingle Cruise started right up on November 1st. So I got to be one of the first people to see the new version of the Jingle Cruise, and they've incorporated some of those new scenes that they added or renovated earlier this year. They've got Trader Sam's shop now has some Christmas decor. And some of the other new scenes have gotten some pluses. So that was pretty cool to get to see that a lot earlier than I expected. Sorry, Thanksgiving. We jump right over you. We go straight from it's Halloween one day, it's Christmas the next. That's the way it works.
The holiday team is just unreal in Newland.
Yeah. Oh, they busted it out. I mean, they must have, you know, started working at like 1 a.m. and just gone straight through till opening. It was pretty impressive to see. So how's your week been?
My week has been good. If you remember from last week, we recorded early so I could go see Dune.
Yes, and?
This is going to sound hyperbolic, but I swear it's not. That was like the best movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're going to take that quote and now put that on a poster.
That would be, I would be simultaneously terrified that it's not worded more beautifully and, thrilled.
Now you got to see it on an IMAX?
Yes. I got to see it.
Yeah, see, I need to get back out and see it in a real IMAX.
It felt like I wasn't alive when Star Wars came out in 77, but it felt like that. Like it felt like going to see something so massively otherworldly for the first time. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. I gotta see that again.
I want to see it again in like Dolby or 4DX or something ridiculous.
Oh yeah, I gotta see if I don't know if anyone's playing that in 4DX. If that that would be interesting.
I just found out that we have one.
They could
here.
Just spray sand in your face the whole time.
Exactly, and the wind. Yeah. Oh man, and the bath sequence with the Baron, you get like little spritz of water on you.
Ew.
Ew. But it was really great. I'm seeing Eternals tomorrow. It's been review bombed, but I am going in with no expectations. I like Chloe Zhao, so.
I love her work, but it all the stuff that I like that she's done, like Nomadland, does not at all make me think, wow, that person should be directing superheroes. So we'll see. It's definitely had some mixed reviews. And honestly, now that I've had the post-credit scene spoiled for me, I'm not sure if I actually need to see it or not.
I
couldn't
know.
Avoid it. It was just sitting there in my Twitter feed. Couldn't help it.
Twitter. I know that there is a thing, but I don't know who or what the thing is. So
yep.
There is a thing. If you say it in the chat, I will come after you.
Suffice to say, stick around to the very, very end.
Yes. I was hoping foolishly that we would have some kind of new Spider-Man trailer before this. But no. We got a bus poster. I don't think we're going to get a trailer for Spider-Man until like the week before it comes out, for obvious reasons.
I was going to say, at this point, it's just anything in a trailer is just going to be a spoiler that's going to. I mean, I feel like at this point, half of this movie is going to be seeing if it meets all of the fan rumors and expectations, which it probably can't possibly do.
Which is
So,
probably why they haven't put anything new out yet.
yeah, exactly. Well, the last
But
trailer got dissected frame by frame, so.
as it does. And then I wanted to go see Spencer, but that will have to wait. Josh has another documentary shoot coming up, so I will have to wait till he gets back.
Sounds
But
like a good week.
yeah, but without any further ado, let's get into the news. First up, an exclusive. Ooh. If you remember the OG Legends of the Hidden Temple from the early 90s on Nickelodeon, you'll remember the original host, Kurt Fogg. He is returning for a 4-episode arc to the reboot on the CW.
Yeah, for kids who grew up in the 90s, this is kind of a big deal. I think that Legends of the Hidden Temple, first of all, that was kind of the show that made that and Double Dare were the shows that made you want to get one of those trips down to Orlando to visit Nickelodeon Studios at Universal where they filmed all this. And watching people do the obstacle course, the elaborate setup that they had for this show, I was so jealous
Yes.
back in the day. And so the fact that they've rebooted it, but they've really paid attention to the show's legacy, and brought back people like Kirk to participate. I think it's really cool. It shows that they, weren't just ripping the name off, but they really wanted to make something that appealed to people who grew up with the show. It's kind of neat that in addition to bringing Kirk back, they've also brought back competitors who were kids back in the day,
Oh my
and they've
goodness.
brought a lot of them back to compete as adults. And actually, if I believe the episode that is running on Sunday night, which would be if you're watching this live, that would be tomorrow night, or if you're listening to the podcast, it was yesterday. But I believe that Josh Siniscalco, who is a Universal Orlando actor who you may know from the horror makeup show, and it was also the original Usher for Halloween Horror Nights. He's one of the Halloween Horror Nights icons. He is competing on the show. He was on it as a kid back
Oh
in the
my
day,
goodness.
and they brought him back. So if you see a guy named Josh on the show, that's him.
Oh my goodness. I was in diapers when this originally aired. But I grew up
Make me feel old, please.
watching reruns on a channel, excuse me, called Nick Gas, if you remember that. Yeah. And this was like my favorite thing. I loved the lore and the set design and all of the intricate puzzles and everything. It was so cool, and I was so jealous that like the show had long stopped airing and I couldn't be on it. And now I'm an adult and I don't think I have the stamina to be on it. But this is so cool. I don't have cable, but I would assume you can stream these after they've
Yeah, this
aired.
is on the CW, and I believe that there is a free app that lets you watch CW content.
Well, I'm gonna have to check that out. I saw that Banks Lee, friend of the show, was very excited about this
Oh
news.
yeah. Yes, he's a big fan.
Yes. So definitely check that out. Get a little dose of nostalgia for you. Next up, Jordan Fisher. You might know him from Broadway in various shows like Hamilton and Dear Evan Hansen pre-COVID. He will be singing aboard the Disney Wish float that we talked about a few episodes back as part of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yep, he's going to be joined with a bunch of Disney characters on this big float that is modeled after the latest Disney cruise ship, which will be launching very soon. We've been talking about all the cool things that are on the ship, and this will be something that definitely put it in front of a lot of people who are not watching our podcast. a lot of mainstream people who probably don't pay any attention to things like, you know, theme parks and cruise lines, but they people watch that Macy's parade. So it's a big advertisement for sure.
He will be singing a new original song for the ship called Together We Set Sail. I can only assume that this will probably be like the welcome song for the show when you first get on the ship.
For the sail away party, they'll use it.
But that is not confirmed. That is just me speculating. So,
yeah.
And you also may recognize him as one of the singers of the now defunct Happily Ever After Nighttime Spectacular. Rest in peace.
Yeah, I believe there was a social media post that went around of him at one of the final performances.
Yes, I saw that. It was very sweet. He was like singing it in the crowd. Yeah. It was like, imagine being in your own Disney Nighttime Spectacular, going to see it when it's closing and like just singing it in the crowd.
You got to. Come on.
It's a weird echo. What is that? the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade airs on November 25th. From 9 a.m. to noon in all time zones. So be sure to check it out.
Hopefully there'll be a way to stream it. Because I remember the last couple of years, I've had so much trouble finding a way to tune in to with that. I think I did resorted to rabbit ears last time.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I remember trying to do
that
last
year. You've got
cable
and you have, I believe it's on NBC, right?
Yeah, I can't remember if we watched it on Peacock or if there was like a YouTube stream that was kind of
I've found YouTube streams that are kind of sketchy and I wish NBC would just put that for free on the
app. Well, yeah, why not? It's not hurting anything. NBC, put it on Peacock. Come on.
It's an American tradition, darn it.
Yes. Adventures by Disney has announced a new expedition cruise to the Arctic. With voyages starting in 2023.
Yeah, and some lucky folks who take this will be accompanied by former Disney Imagineer Joe Rohde, who's going to lead art classes, sketching classes on the boat, which is kind of amazing. In addition to the Arctic cruise, I believe they're also going to be starting cruises to the Antarctic. So you can go to the very northern tip of the planet and to the very southern tip of the planet with Adventures by Disney. I think we're talking about 12-day, 11-night cruises starting in December of 2022 and early 2023. Obviously, these are not inexpensive trips. There's pre-cruise experiences in Buenos Aires because you start out in Argentina. And I believe the Arctic trip starts out in Scandinavia. Mm. Both, you know, very, very a lot. These are not bargain basement cruises. These are bucket list kind of cruises. And they are also introducing a family expedition cruise to the Galapagos Islands, which I think that sounds pretty amazing too, with a pre-cruise experience in the Amazon.
Could you imagine?
These are all Adventures by Disney cruises. So these trips are on smaller boats than like the Disney Cruise Line uses. These are kind of smaller river ship style cruise ships that are designed for fewer people and they can navigate in smaller places. But you're still going to get, you know, the quality Disney service, the finely curated experience that all the Disney trips are known for.
Yeah. And these experiences have adventure guides that are super well-versed in your destination and follow along with you, teaching you all sorts of things about the cultures and nature aspects of the places you're visiting, which is really neat.
I have not personally taken an adventure by Disney cruise, but I've heard nothing but good things from people who have taken these trips. They've been doing them from Europe for a while. And the Arctic would be an amazing thing to see before it all melts.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Get there while you can, folks.
Yes. Run Disney has announced a new springtime surprise race weekend with a unique kind of twist on its theming.
In that it's like a throwback.
Yeah.
They've taken some races from the past and kind of resurrected them in a slightly new form. You might remember the Everest 5K that they did back in the day. There's also the Tower of Terror 10. These were some popular races that they did previously and had been discontinued, but now they've been revived with little changes. Like, I know the Tower of Terror one used to be held at night, and I think now it's going to be held in the morning. There are a total of 4 races, and I was also surprised the pricing wasn't as high as I remember Run Disney races being in the past. You know, it's still not cheap, but we're talking, I think the prices on each of them were like around $100 or less per race.
Oh, that's bad.
No, you know, because the, you know, inflation over the, you know, past few years before the virus hit, Run Disney races were getting pretty darn expensive. And the pricing I saw looked like they had come back down a little bit. So that's nice to know.
And what's unique about this springtime surprise race thing is that each year the races and the theme of it will change.
Mm-hmm.
So while it is throwback right now and it has all of these classic races returning next year, it'll be different. Or in 2023, I suppose. This is 2022. They have said that they will announce the 2023 theme very soon. Mm-hmm. Place your bets now as to what it is. I'm not super well versed in the history of Run Disney, but it could be anything. You never know. And they also have not shown the medals off yet, or if the medals will be the same from previous races.
No, but I believe if you do all 4, there will be a special medal for completing all 4. All of the races in the weekend.
Yes. And then there will also be a yoga offering in front of Cinderella Castle, similarly to...
Yeah, sunrise yoga in Magic Kingdom. That actually sounds kind of fun.
They did a cast member one while I was a cast member, but I had to work, so I didn't get to go do it. But it definitely seems like a unique experience. For sure, they have like a instructor on a mic that leads the class from the castle forecourt stage. It's very cool if you're able to do it. Registration opens on December 9th on RunDisney.com. They'll be sharing more details in the coming weeks, including the theme for the 2023 springtime surprise. So keep an eye out for that.
I have never run a Run Disney race.
Me neither. I can't.
I generally only run if I'm being chased.
Exactly.
If they let you do it at a comfortable walk, I would consider it. But I know they have time cutoffs per mile. So
the balloon ladies, they come and they get you.
They'll sweep you off.
Yes. Universal Orlando has brought back their buy a day, get a second day free ticket deal. If you are looking for an excuse to get over to Universal Orlando. And it's available now through through December 16th and can be used until February 4th, 2022.
Yeah, you need to be a Florida resident or a Georgia resident for this one. And you're gonna need to head over to a Wendy's and order a soda. And there'll be a QR code with a promo number on that cup that you'll be able to enter into the website. But once you purchase one of these, you'll basically be able to visit for a second day, any second day before that February 4th deadline, for no extra charge. And I think you can even throw on a day at Volcano Bay for an extra $25. So that's a pretty good bargain. If you, you know, you're not looking to invest in an annual pass, but you do want to visit a couple times over the winter, check that one out.
Yeah, it's a great deal depending on what your base ticket price is.
Yeah. In addition, if you want to make a whole weekend out of it, they've got special discounts going right now for Florida residents at Universal's Endless Summer Resort, Dockside Suites. You can get a room starting at $84 a night, which is pretty good for a non-annual pass holder rate.
Yeah. We have all the information for that, and including the links to book on our website. So go check that out. Legoland Florida, like every other theme park in Central Florida, is already gearing up for the holidays with Holidays at Legoland happening on select dates in November and December, starting on November 26th.
Yep. It's going to be on basically on the weekends, 26th, 27th, 8th, 4th, 5th, 11th, 12th. So not so much the weekdays, but if you stop by on the weekends, you're going to be able to experience Lego Santa meet and greets. He's got his Lego gingerbread man and Lego toy soldier friends with him. There's live entertainment. There is lighting, of course, at night, and I believe they are also going to be doing their traditional fireworks displays.
Yes, those happen on December 26th through the 31st, mm-hmm. yep. where the park will be extended through to 8 p.m. for those fireworks. Normally, it's open from 10 to 7. You can also see the Lego Movie Friends. They'll be dressed up in their Christmas outfits.
Ugly Christmas sweaters for everyone.
Yes, and scarves. And they will also be bringing back the Very Merry Mix-Up, a stage show that they launched last year or the year before. It was either before or after COVID, but it's new-ish. Mm-hmm.
I remember there was also, I don't know if it's coming back or not, but there was a fun little physical comedy slapstick show with elves. I'm not sure
yes,
if that
one's
on the agenda again.
I don't think so.
That's true. That was a fun one. But they always do a good job with the live entertainment there. Yeah, I visited Legoland a couple times for their holiday celebrations. They do a really nice job. I also want to give a shout out to our friend Banks, who's over at Legoland, he and his team just won an IAPA Brass Ring Award for the training programs that Banks helped create over there at Legoland. In fact, I believe during the awards presentation, they used a video that Banks shot. That's the IAPA Brass Ring Awards is a really big deal in the industry. So congrats to Banks and all his colleagues over there.
That's incredible. Congratulations. I don't know if you're listening to this. I hope you are. Great job. Wow. And also, you'll be able to write letters to Santa at Legoland Florida, of course, at the Holiday Village Postal Service. It's an experience where your kids or adults, I don't know if they really insist on not letting adults do it, but you can try.
They can't stop me.
You'll write a letter to Santa, put it in the mailbox, and then watch as it flies off to the North Pole via interactive digital screens. So, yes, all sorts of holiday fun at Legoland. And keeping it going, we have the Christmas celebration at SeaWorld Orlando, which returns on November 12th, just a few days from now, running through January 2nd, 2022.
Yeah, SeaWorld's another one that puts on a great traditional holiday celebration. I believe this year there is a live show involving Elmo. They've expanded into that Sesame Street area that opened not too long ago. But the big news is the live nativity, O Holy Night, which is their traditional kind of Christmas nativity show that involved live animals. That is not happening this year, unfortunately. I guess they just found it was too difficult to get the camels to wear face masks. So instead, there is going to be Holiday Reflections, which is like a kind of an upgraded version of their holiday fireworks. The Sea of Trees is back with all the lit up trees, and there's going to be a big fountain finale involving fireworks and the lights that takes place all around that giant lake. And there's also now going to be a Sounds of the Season concert series. It's going to be held on event days from November 12th through January 2nd. I don't believe we have a lineup of who the performers are yet. But they say it's going to be a variety of talented acts, and that will be at the Nautilus Theater.
We'll also see the return of the Sesame Street Christmas Parade.
That was a fun one. I got to see that last time. That was good.
I got to see, they have the same one as SeaWorld San Antonio. Mm-hmm. I got to see that a couple of years back, I think 2019. Very cute. This song will get stuck in your head forever, though. Fair warning. So we will also see the return of Winter Wonderland on Ice, their ice skating show over in the Bayside Stadium. Various Rudolph characters will be strolling around Christmas Town for character encounters, and also public ice skating at the Bayside Stadium, which sounds like me falling over. But
it might not sound much to people who live up north, but there are not a ton of opportunities to ice skate down in Orlando. So that's a fun one. Also note that they're bringing back the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer movie experience. You get to see a edited version of the original classic with some special effects. That this year has been moved and is going into the Seaport Theater, which makes me think that the Pets show that is normally in there will probably be on hiatus for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And then if Christmas is not your bag and you would prefer to celebrate other holidays, they will be doing a Hanukkah celebration from November 28th through December 6th, and Kwanzaa festivities from December 26th through January 1st, and of course New Year's Eve on December 31st, ringing in 2022.
Yeah, I got to say, if you are looking for a park to watch fireworks at on New Year's Eve, and you don't feel like dealing with the insane crowds at Magic Kingdom or Epcot, SeaWorld does put on a great fireworks show and generally has a lot more elbow room on those big holidays than the other parks do. So consider that.
I never thought about that. But I also have never done New Year's at Disney because I value myself.
It's probably been 10 years since I did it. And the last time I was like, this is a lot. This is just
I can imagine.
Lot. Yeah.
Destination D23, a fan celebration being held at the Contemporary Resort in Walt Disney World, has sold out. But if you're not able to make it, they will be live streaming a handful of panels on the 20th and 21st of November that you can check out.
Yeah, I am actually going to this. It kicks off here in Orlando on Friday, where they're having special screenings of Encanto and a special performance of the new Cirque du Soleil show, which we'll be talking about in a minute. I'm going to get to see that. But then, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, they've got a pretty impressive lineup. The one that I am obviously most interested in is the presentation that is going to be a look at the future of Disney parks, experiences, and products. And I believe Josh Tomorrow is going to be presenting that one. And hopefully we will have some more information about things like Guardians of the Galaxy and Tron. But there's some fun events that are celebrating kind of Walt Disney World through the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. So there'll probably be a lot of fun throwback stuff there. There is going to be a special session on the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. And just a whole lot more. It's a pretty packed agenda. I know my butt is going to be tired from sitting in those convention seats at the Contemporary for like 8 hours straight. If you were not able to get tickets, I'm almost a little jealous that, you'd be able to watch it from the comfort of your own home instead of squeezing into a crowded convention hall with all of us.
That'll be me. I'll be watching it from my couch with all of the elbow room I could desire. But I'm really surprised that they're doing basically like the whole day, both of these days. Which, why can't we do that with everything? Maybe this is like a thing going forward. Next year is a big year for D23 Expo, the big one. Because of course it is 1923.
100th anniversary.
100th anniversary. I imagine it will be a major blowout. But I've never been to a D23 convention. And
yeah, this is going to be my first too. I'm excited.
Yeah, you'll have a great time. And then seeing Encanto and Drawn to Life.
Yeah, it's going to be a packed weekend.
Oh my gosh. I saw a preview of Drawn to Life back in 2019 before, literally the week before everything shut down.
Yeah, it was supposed to open basically the day that the world closed down.
And the show, what I got to see of the show was incredible, but we can talk about that later.
Yes.
Knott's Merry Farm is returning on November 19th through January 2nd to bring all of the festive fun to Knott's Merry Farm.
Again, Knott's Merry Farm is great at doing a traditional old-fashioned Christmas. Lights galore everywhere. Knott's Merry Farm is all about the food.
Yes.
So if you are looking for decadent Christmas-themed food, this is definitely a place. I think they're doing deep-fried turkey bites this year.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, everything comes with boysenberry. I wonder if there's, like, boysenberry relish. Like, you have cranberry relish, if you can make boysenberry relish. That would probably be really good.
I wouldn't be surprised. but if not, you can also try to make it yourself and then tell us if it's any good. They will also have a ton of live stage entertainment.
Yeah, that's really what Knott's Berry Farm is best at, food and live entertainment. They have the license for Snoopy. So they're presenting Merry Christmas Snoopy with the whole Charlie Brown gang. That's a fun stage show in the Walter Knott Theater. They've also got the Calico Mine stage is going to be presenting Home for the Holidays. That's over in the Ghost Town area. They are doing a kind of an adaptation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol in the Birdcage Theater.
It looks so, like, beautiful. Yeah. At least with the costuming and the staging, it looks very, like, classic. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, they will also have a Peanuts Guide to Christmas, seasonal live music. Crazy Kirk and the Hillbillies will be singing Christmas songs in Wagon Camp.
And they are always fantastic.
Yes. Then Knott Studio will be where radio personalities Wayne Deere and Ginger Snaps. That name. I can't see Ginger Snaps and not think about the movie, guys. Sorry. we'll be bringing their 1950s flair to the Boardwalk's annual Christmas broadcast, where you can request songs and listen to very important Christmas commercials.
Of course, last but not least, Santa's Christmas Cabin over in the Wilderness Dance Hall in the Ghost Town area is where you can go in and meet Santa, get some seasonal treats like freshly baked cookies, wash it down with a cold glass of milk.
Sounds amazing. And then at Mrs. Claus's Kitchen will be where you can bake and decorate cookies for an additional fee. Of course, those ingredients are not cheap. Then each evening during Merry Farm, the park will light up with lights and snope, I would imagine.
Big snow.
On the streets of Ghost Town, which sounds just lovely. Then they will be bringing back their Christmas Crafts Village with all sorts of local artisans for you to buy all sorts of wares. It sounds really, it reminds me a lot of Dollywood's Christmas offerings, and I love Dollywood Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
one of my lifelong favorite theme park holiday experiences. So this is definitely a bucket list thing to get to go out to Knott's and experience it for Christmas.
And I believe all of these events, aside from, you know, the food, is included in regular park admission or your annual pass. So no hard ticket after hours events here,
which is always great. And Eric says you can get boysenberry relish.
So. Of course Eric would know.
So there you go.
You taste that and let us know how it is.
Yes, please. Universal Orlando's holiday tour and more will be back for holidays at Universal Orlando Resort. If you remember last year, they did not do the Christmas parade. And instead, they had some of the floats parked in a soundstage where you could walk up and check them out in a unique kind of up close view. And they'll be bringing them back.
Yes, the parade will be back in its full form this year. And on top of that, Grinchmas is coming back. They did not do the live stage show, but now they are again, and they're moving it into the Blue Man Group Theater, which is very exciting because those seats are much more comfortable than those hard metal benches that they used to have people sitting in the soundstage. And so this is also joined by the Magic of Christmas at Hogwarts Castle, which is a late night, end of evening light show in Hogsmeade. And there's also going to be meet and greets with both Santa and meet and greets with the Grinch, the live action version from the Jim Carrey movie. Lot of stuff going on. And if you want to kind of bundle it all up in one package, you can sign up for this Universal's Holiday Tour. And it's basically a VIP tour concentrating just on those Christmas events. And I think that runs just about $70 a person.
Yes.
And you'll also need park admission on top of that.
Park to park.
Yes, you'll need a park hopper because it covers both parks. But if, you know, if you want the VIP treatment, you don't want to have to, I mean, meeting the Grinch or meeting Santa alone can take up a big chunk of your day because those are very popular. So this would be a great way to fit everything in. And you also have the opportunity, if you are there December 4th and 5th or the 11th and 12th, to see Mannheim Steamroller, the, best-selling, Christmas musical group is back again. They took a year off, but they will be back playing their Christmas classics. And that will be taking place at the Music Plaza stage in Universal Studios, Florida on those select evenings.
Yes. I've never done a VIP tour before, but this sounds like a great way to knock out all of the holiday stuff in one go.
Yeah, I mean, everything that is on the tour is stuff that you could do yourself without the tour, but you might have to spread it out over a couple visits. Because they're really, you know, they're packing in all the highlights. And if you are Christmas crazy and you don't like waiting in lines, it sounds like a good thing to check out.
It starts on November 21st. You can learn more about booking on our website. And in our last bit of news before we get to the main attraction, to promote the release of Marvel's Eternals, you can meet some of the Eternals now at Avengers Campus at Disney California Adventure.
Yeah, it looks like they are hanging out around Doctor Strange's Sanctum Sanctorum. And I wish I could tell you exactly which Eternals these are, but there are like 17 characters in this movie. I know there's the Angelina Jolie one and the Selma Hayek one. And past that, I really can't tell you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I know that this one in the, for those of you listening to the audio version, the lady in the green is Cersei. I know that for sure. And I think this one is Kumail Nanjiani Kingo. And I think this one is Fastos.
I'm grateful that they color coded them each because it's like the green one, the purple one, the blue one. You know?
Yes,
that's the only way I could possibly keep.
Well, there's multiple blue ones because Icarus is also blue, but he's blue and gold, not blue and silver. But I guess this means.
I hope they're wearing "Hello, my name is" tags.
Yeah, that would be helpful, wouldn't it? I've seen, this is just an advertisement, what we have pulled up on screen, but I believe they have platforms that they're standing on when you actually go see them in the land, similarly to how Agatha was meeting in there. She had like a whole platform with Sparky's tombstone next to it. But this is just continuing the trend of promoting the latest Marvel Cinematic Universe release with the land, which I think is probably one of the coolest things they've done in Avengers Campus so far.
I'm really impressed how on top of it they've been, you know, for every, like, you know, it was almost like every episode of Loki, they would have a new variant coming out in the park. And so the, you know, the costuming department, the entertainment department has really got to be working overtime to keep up. And so I think that's cool. It definitely helps keep the land fresh and relevant if you can hopefully see whoever the latest hot character is there. It's a good reason to keep coming back.
But here's a question. When Spider-Man comes out, are we going to have three different Spider-Men running around?
Oh, no, well, you mean, well, we've got the Spider-Man flying over the top of the building, the animatronic one. Are you talking about like Toby, yes. Andrew, and oh, okay. Yes. Well, we'll see what secrets the multiverse hold.
If that happens, I will lose my mind.
Well, it's interesting because since Disney owns, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but the Spider-Man movies are produced by Sony with like a sublicense. You notice that they don't use, when you see Spider-Man inside the theme park, he does not wear the same costume that he does in the Sony films because part of the, I guess, part of the contract, they had to change the costume just enough. So it's a unique version of it. So, yeah, that would be curious to see if they pull in people who are known from a different studio's film into the park.
Or get like a Doc Ock giant mech arm thing. But I would
I want to see a Green Goblin drone flying.
That would be so crazy. Keep in mind that this is probably limited. Previously, the character promo that was added in was Zombie Captain America, and he was only there for the last like week and a half of Halloween parties. So, I would assume that he's Gonzo now.
So basically, if you see they've got a character you want, get there quick because it might be gone in another week.
I can't think. Hawkeye is next. So I would assume that they would put in Hawkeye and Kate Bishop.
That would make sense. It's interesting. Hawkeye is the only core Avenger that we have not seen inside the park at all.
And maybe Yelena as well, depending. Hmm. But that's all I can think of. So if you want to meet the Eternals and ask them what the heck their movie is about, because I'm seeing it tomorrow and I still don't know, do that. Quick.
It's about 2 hours and 45 minutes long. That's what I hear. That's what it's about.
I will let you know my thoughts next week.
All right.
And that's everything I had for the news in the queue this week. And before we get to main attraction, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort? Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
It's time for the main attraction.
And this week's main attraction is that Disney's and Cirque du Soleil's new show, Drawn to Life, opening on November 18th, has announced two new acts for the show's 10 stunt acrobatic performance lineup. And I got to do the junket for this, actually.
Now, did you get to see anything from these particular acts 2 years ago when you were there?
No, I saw the aerial pole, which is themed like a pencil. And it was, and then I saw the tumbling act as well.
Wow. Yeah. So these two new acts, one of them is inspired by Pinocchio and involves a troupe of unicyclists who will represent the Blue Fairy as they float around the stage. performing stunts on their unicycles. And that one is called the Garden of Lines. The other, I'm sorry, did I mess that one up?
No, you're correct.
Sorry. Oh, I got that one right. Yay, I got that one right. Okay. The other one, which is the one I'm really excited for, is inspired by the Old Mill, which if you are a really hardcore Disney fan, you know that the Old Mill is an old Silly Symphony cartoon that sort of launched the multiplane camera. Some of the very first things to ever use a multiplane camera to create depth. There's a tiny little clip of it that was used in World of Color, but it's pretty obscure to most people. But it's got some amazing imagery, and it's been used to inspire a new act involving a, I don't know what the technical term for, I always call it the Wheel of Death. This giant thing that looks like a big tinker toy with two hamster wheels on either end, and it spins around in the air, and people run on the outside and climb on the inside. And this is one I've never quite seen before. This is like a double version of that.
I've seen one like this before.
It looks pretty amazing. It basically looks like a giant egg beater tipped on its side, spinning around with people flying in and around and through it. And it definitely looks like a kind of act where if you missed your timing, you'd get smushed pretty good. Definitely on the death-defying side for sure.
I saw this, not this exact performance of it. The technical term, I think, is the Wheel of Death.
Okay, all right.
But they said in the junket that they did not want to call it that because this is a show about life. So they're calling it... So it's called the double wheel. This giant hunk of machinery used in Ka in Las Vegas.
Yes. Ka has one similar. That's yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Was amazing.
When I went, someone was doing jump rope on this outer ring here it was spinning, and they missed and tripped. And it was the most horrifying thing I'd ever watched in my entire life. Because I was just sitting there like horrified, but no one was hurt. It was fine. It was just a little frightening.
A little. I really like how they've taken these kind of traditional circus art stunts and wrapped them around Disney storytelling and kind of found inspiration in sort of some of the classic animated films. The whole show, in case you don't know, is based around the idea of a girl whose father was a Disney animator, she discovers his legacy and is led into the history of Disney animation, I believe, through a magic pencil.
Yes.
They brought Eric Goldberg back, who is best known as the animator for The Genie, and worked on a bunch of films during the kind of Disney's second golden era. And he's involved in creating some of the animation that's going to be projected during the show. So it's definitely going to be, if nothing else, it's going to be visually stunning.
What I saw in 2019 was like, it made me, I didn't cry, but I got like misty, and definitely some goosebumps were happening. It was beautiful. And I can only imagine that they've used this time away to plus the show even further. I'm super jealous of everyone that'll get to go see it in a couple of weeks. But if you
I'm cheap. I never pay for anything if I can avoid it. And this was one where I was like, I'm not waiting for press tickets. I am buying tickets with my own money. That's how excited I am to see this one.
The second that I make it back to Orlando, I'm going to see this for sure. If you are local to the Walt Disney World Orlando area, you can head over to the Cirque du Soleil Theater at Disney Springs now and check out the new Drawn to Life store, where they have a bunch of new merchandise themed to the show.
Yep. You're going to pick up your t-shirt or other souvenirs now and be ahead of the curve, make everyone jealous. I think you've seen it already.
I think they also have some other products that are not necessarily like show merch, but inspired by. I saw someone post on Twitter of those cartoon bags that look like they're 2D, but they're actually like 3D purses or backpacks.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So they have those as well. And it's open now. It opened back on, I believe it was Tuesday that happened.
The store.
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, the store.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The show itself, official open night is November 18th. I think I'm seeing on the 19th. So we'll do the show on we'll record a show on the 20th and I'll get to give you my thoughts.
I can't wait to hear all about it. It will be performing on Tuesday through Saturday at Disney Springs in the former theater for Lanuba. So if you are going to Walt Disney World, consider checking this out. It is an extra cost, but I mean, you can't beat live theatrical entertainment.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. But that is everything that we had to talk about this week. That's
and we
it.
Came in under an hour. Fantastic.
Amazing. And this week, I do have some listener thank yous shout-outs to share. In case you didn't know, if you subscribe to Attractions Magazine or one of four tiers, if you pick the Club or VIP tier the week after you subscribe, you get a shout-out on the podcast. So this week, we are thanking Ron Sandylands and Jennifer Evans. Thank you so much for supporting Attractions and, by proxy, this podcast. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And I also want to thank our sponsor, Destinations Character Travel, for being with us here every week. And I want to remind all of you that you can head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And please give us a 5-star review. Give us a rating. Share the good word about Attractions Magazine with all of your friends. And find us throughout the week before our next show by heading over to, for me, theunofficialguides.com or on Twitter at the UG series or at the unofficial guides on Instagram. And Brittany, where can they find you and Attractions Magazine?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, but also every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractions magazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you've been hanging out with us for the past hour. And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.